Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, thank you for joining us on the program. It's being called a must-read for anyone concerned about humanity's future. The book, Returning to Eden, winner of the Pinnacle Book Achievement Award, 2018 winner in the category of education by author John Mazurk. For thousands of years, humankind questioned what happens when we die. Philosophers and religious leaders have searched for an answer. Often the answer is, after dying, one's spirit goes to a paradise. What happens when we no longer die? Do we ever get to a paradise? Returning to Eden is a story of what humankind needs to do when it achieves immortality in this existence. It will be at least 250 years before humankind achieves immortality. Preparing for that eventuality, John says, will be difficult. The story takes place 100 years in the future, when technical advancements provide a means for communication using artificial intelligence devices, augmenting university professors, lecturing from different locations on Earth and Moon for a universal symposium. I think I've got your attention. John Mazurk, author of Returning to Eden, our guest on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate you being here.
What a challenging story, as well as an entertaining story. We are entertained at the same time. We're thinking, like, this almost sounds like this could actually happen. Returning to Eden, a story, as I mentioned, on what humankind needs to do when it achieves immortality in this existence. And you feel, with the scientific advancements we're making, that's possible within, what, about 250 years?
That's the speculation by several scientists that work in neurophysics and everything. I'm going to go along with that because I've seen the advancements myself in the systems engineering arena over the last 50 years, and the advancements that we have made have been phenomenal. And as we get to understand the brain better and better, then we'll be able to replicate it. And when we can do that, that allows for the immortality in this existence.
What was it that motivated this story? It's a captivating story, receiving rave reviews, an award-winning book, Returning to Eden. What was it about this concept of immortality that led you to this particular story?
In all honesty, I felt like I was inspired by the Creator, who I always refer to as the Eternalist. The Eternalist basically has given us an understanding that we have a purpose, and our purpose is to achieve this immortality and to go forward to create our own paradise. In the past, we had to rely on the God, the Creator, to allow us to have that same sense of understanding going forward. But as we achieve an understanding and get more and more knowledge, we will ultimately achieve almost an eternal knowledge, and when we do, we will be able to achieve that immortality in this existence.
The book is Returning to Eden. John Mazurk, M-A-Z-U-R-K, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. Interesting information in the book, challenging information in the book. And the book, you know, it's nice to say, you know, I really think we've got a shot at basically living forever. That sounds great, and you approach it from a scientific aspect as well, but other aspects, talk about that, because once you get beyond that statement and the euphoria that maybe I could keep this going, there are a lot of issues, from religious to social, political, a lot of issues we need to deal with. Are we prepared to go into immortality, to live forever?
I've not found one person that said we are. And Rick, I have a feeling that you'd probably agree with that.
Yes.
Because as we age and as our bodies deteriorate and everything, and as we see so many challenges for just living, it then becomes a question of how will we cope with this as the population continues to grow? There's an evolution that's taking place. I mean, we've got all these issues that they talk about with, you know, global weather changes and stuff like that. So the question then is, how do we as a species create a perfection in this existence? Well, it starts by coming up with a definition. And I can't find one person on this planet who can give me a definition of what constitutes a true paradise.
The book is Returning to Eden, John Mazurk, the author and our guest on the program. It's a fascinating read. It's interesting as you read this. And the story starts, as I say, about 100 years in the future. We've got Dr. Lillian Eve, president of Renaissance University, about to celebrate a birthday. A lot of people celebrate birthdays. Hers is birthday number 107, and she feels, because of advancement, she's probably got another 50 years to live. Pick it up at that point, because that's basically what 100 years, that's possible. We're 107, you're just sort of advancing to into middle age at that point in time.
Right. Right, basically, that's exactly right. And the whole idea is, you know, we look at, scientifically, what is the age advancements that's taking place and how are they increasing? And we recognize that children that are born now probably are going to have a life expectancy of somewhere over 100 years. As we get into age retarding, that'll allow them to go even further than that. And that's going to take them possibly to 150 years of age. Can they understand that? What will they do? Do they really want all of this interaction? And again, as the population explodes in that instance now, we're going to have more people than we have resources to provide for them. A question that needs to be addressed, something that we as a society need to understand going forward.
Yeah, as I mentioned, when you think about the concept, it's like, sign me up. I really want part of this. And then you stop to realize, but we have a lot of work to do to get to that point. And we see it unfold in the book, Returning to Eden. You talk about, well, it's obvious it's not a perfect existence unless we make it so, right? I mean, we still see terrorism. We still see hostile people at work out there. We still see war. We still see famine. We still see poverty. These are areas that aren't going to change scientifically. We have to change them.
Very much so. And those issues have to be addressed. And they have to be addressed from the perspective of each individual. One of the challenges that we have is, you know, we live in an aristocracy. And in that, we basically provide everything we can to certain people, but vast majorities of other people we take from constantly. And so the idea is, how do we cause an equitable capitalization for the entire living species of humanity? That's a challenge.
Is it safe to say that science, apparently, they're doing their part? We're seeing that now with advanced age and over the course of the next 250 years, we will see that the possibility, at least, that immortality will exist. Is it now up to us to how we react? Is that going to determine whether or not we're successful at attempting to live forever?
Rick, you know, correct. As long as you recognize the fact that, as I point out in the book, the most powerful science is political science.
Yes.
Okay, so the idea is science itself is making tremendous advancements, but even that is being controlled by the political science spectrum of the in governments and everything. We have to understand, as a species, what do we really want? What is this perfection that we could possibly achieve? And then we have to, you know, resolve it together. We don't need one group of people to tell us what's right. We don't need another group of people to tell us what is their right and stuff like that. We have to do it individually, but then also across the entire society. Challenge? Boy, you're not kidding, that's a challenge.
Talk about the process of putting the book concept together. You have this idea and you present it in a, I'm going to say, an entertaining way in the novel that you've written, Returning to Eden, which has been called an incredibly important literary work, and it is. How did you go about doing this, telling this story in a fictional way, yet using proven scientific techniques, also historical facts? What was the challenge in putting this together in story form? Because you've got plot twists along the way. Just when you think something's going to work out this way, we find it takes another shift here. So you've got two things. You've got this prescient book that you're writing, and you're doing it in a very entertaining way.
Well, you know, it was one thing for me to write it from my perspective. But then I recognized the fact that not everybody has my background. Not everybody has my beliefs. Not everybody has my understanding. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to broaden that. And so I talked with several people, including young people, teenagers, and asked them about their concepts and what they believed here or what they believed there. And in those conversations, I got enlightenment as to challenges that they were facing, which were different than what I was facing, but also an awareness of how they would like to go forward in total and everything. So it was quite interesting. At the same time, and as you point out in the book, I do have some challenges that arise. I had to make it so that people would want to read the book, and people don't want to just read philosophy. I don't know about you, but every time I pick up Aristotle to try to read him, I go, oh,
exactly. Gosh, yes.
Challenging. Okay. So I had to make the book more readable for a broader audience. And that's why there's the fiction that I put into it and the storyline to take it through.
It gets us thinking about so many issues as we go through with the characters, what they're going through, and after you get by the wow factor on some of the things that they're able to do and, right. and some of the issues they're dealing with, you realize we possibly could be dealing with these as well. So much of this goes back to, as I mentioned in the beginning, some very basic questions, like, why do we exist? And I don't expect you to give me the correct answer because I'm not sure there is one. Boy, people have been talking about this for centuries.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you use such a short period of time, centuries, because, again, 13.7 billion years ago, according to physicists, was the Big Bang. And yet, you know, we as a species, you know, take us all the way back maybe 300,000 years or something like that. And then, you know, we start to evolve, and it's only been within the last 4,000 or 5,000 that we've actually started writing down what we understand and everything going forward. So you put it in the context of all of history, and I'm not just talking human history, but all of the history of the universe and everything, and it becomes a big challenge, there's no doubt about it, as to understanding why did it occur? Why did the Big Bang occur? Physicists can't tell us. Why did we as a species start to evolve when we did? Anthropologists are having some challenges coming up with an understanding of that. But the bottom line is we do exist in this time. And so all of eternity is now at the moment. And what do we do going forward from this moment?
What's interesting, and I touched on that in the introduction, we all think, you know, what happens when we die? We're told that there is paradise. That's something that we strive for. Eternal life, and now it appears, obviously, if we don't die, immortality, eternal life may be the life we're living now. That's a real tough question for many people, isn't it?
It is. You know, you look at the different religions, and many of them have a soul. And the question was, what is the soul? Well, it's actually been proven scientifically that upon your demise organically, there is an energy source that is emitted from your body. That's a soul. And since energy can neither be created nor destroyed, it's eternal. So it does go on for eternity. So the question then is, how does that energy source then evolve into another organic form? And that then becomes the immortality that we're looking for, because now we're going to keep it within an energy source that we are, or in a virtual reality, and go forward from there.
John Mazurk, our guest on the program. The book is Returning to Eden. You will find it at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. Link on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on, you'll go directly to information on the book. Be able to order the book there as well. John, a couple minutes left in the program. Time going by way too quickly. What do you hope we take from the book? Besides, as I mentioned, 5-star reviews, a really entertaining and challenging read. When it's over with, what can we do? I mean, I'm one person, I'm reading this book, I like this concept, but I understand when I think it through that immortality, that's going to bring a whole lot of other issues. We feel we're overpopulated, especially in some sections of the world right now. Imagine if we just keep adding on to that. What do you hope the listener takes away from the book?
An openness to communicate with all of society. And by society, I mean all of humanity. I want us to go forward as one entity rather than to be divided up into different groups. you know, yes, there are tribes, there are clans, there are social castes. However, we are an one species, and we need to appreciate that so that we can all communicate, understand, and love one another.
What are your thoughts on us actually being able to do that, to comprehend the concept of timelessness? Are you optimistic that, and we've got some time to work it out here, 250 years to try to figure this out, are you optimistic that we can get a handle on this?
Rick, the barriers of ignorance are bigger than any wall.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure that we'll be able to overcome them in a short period of time like 250 years.
What are you working on now? You've raised so many questions. You've walked us through with the book Returning to Eden. Are you working on another book? What are you doing now to sort of continue this thought-provoking process that you've started us off on?
Immortal Purpose is what I'm working on now, because Returning to Eden talks to the biology, it talks to the physics, it talks to the engineering that gets us to a point. Then the question arises, what is the true immortal purpose of humanity? And that's what I'm trying to address in the follow-on to Returning to Eden.
Well, I can't wait for that, because you've certainly got my interest now in this possibility and what all in the reality of this possibility, what all we need to do to make this successful transition. The book is Return to Eden. John Mazurk is the author and our guest. That's M-A-Z-U-R-K for Googling purposes. The book's available at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and you can link on directly. We'll make it easy for you. Just go to thisweekinamerica.us and link on directly to the websites. Amazon and Barnes & Noble, get information on the book. John, you've entertained us. You've challenged us. It's been a fascinating interview with you on the program. We will stay in touch. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. It's been a pleasure.
You have a great existence, young man.
And hopefully for another couple hundred years.
At a minimum.
I might settle for a decade now at this particular point in time. The book is Returning to Eden. John Mazurk, our guest on the program. You are listening to This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.